Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise podcast. My name is Chris, and this morning you are joining me and my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
On what is episode 87 of the podcast, we come to you on this dreadfully dreary Irish Sunday morning.
Yeah, dreadfully dreary.
The weather is absolutely appalling outside. It's Sunday the 13th of October, and as we said before the podcast, we are hammering the arse end of October.
I was getting a little vulgar, Chris.
I know. I dialed it back a bit there.
Have you noticed the day is getting shorter?
Oh, it's so bad, dude. Yeah. It's like, I thought last night I came home at 8 o'clock, and I was coming home in the summer, and I was able to go for like a walk or a run in the forest. Yeah. I came home last night, 8 o'clock, with pitch black. I was like, oh God.
I got locked in the park the other day. What? Because I took the dog for a walk after work. Similar to you.
Hello, anyone? That's incredible. But what happened?
I just was walking, so it was getting dark, and I was like, fuck, it's getting dark very early. And then when I got to the gate, it was locked. It was a fucking big padlock on it.
Holy shit.
You couldn't scale it or nothing.
Oh.
I went to the main gate then, assuming like they'd leave it open until everyone got out, because there was loads of people still in there. But no, they just locked everything off and fucked away off. It closed at 7 o'clock, and I got to get it 4 minutes past 7, and there wasn't a sight of a sinner about. Like,
no way.
They just locked it up and left. Like,
cheeky bastards.
At the main gate, there was a bunch of people who were all just like walking. Like, you had to go like sort of shimmy up against a hedge and get round the fence. And
no,
I was like,
way.
That's ridiculous. Like,
oh wow,
come on! Like, there was, like,
you got
was
locked
a good
in the park.
There was a good 40 people in the park at that time. I was like, they're just gonna leave.
At the time that they
it
locked
was, yeah,
the gate.
It was locked. Yeah. But
they just don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
They're probably 7 o'clock. It says 7 o'clock.
They've probably got about fucking 6 or 7 parks to clean.
I've often wondered, like, do Gosford do that? Because I know they say like this change the times constantly. Like when you drive into Gosford and it says like gates close at like 6. But what happens if there's still a load of cars there? Like, do you just forfeit that?
That's it. I don't know. I assumed like they'd wait. They'd be like, right, we'll close the gates so no one can get in.
No one, but we'll still let people out.
Yeah, we'll just wait for people to come out. But like, I don't know. I mean, that'd be a pretty scummy thing to do, just lock it up and leave.
Probably like a surcharge or something. You got to pay like £5 now for us to walk out and just open the gate, you bastards.
But I'd imagine I would assume they'd give you like 10 or 15 minutes grace.
Yeah.
You know, to get out.
Not these guys. Is this council run park?
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't get home, buddy. I want to get home. It's 7:02. Let's go. Fuck, that's brilliant. You got locked in a park. He gets locked in the park. That's brilliant.
Doing the next podcast from the park.
Yeah, it's been cold all week as well.
It has. Oh, yesterday was nice. It was dry. It was kind of sunny.
I was inside working, so I didn't experience any of it.
It's been cold, but it's been like brisk. I haven't minded it this last week.
I've really noticed it in the mornings getting up going to work. It's been like, oh, you know, you got to get that heat going.
Yeah, the heat has to be on the timer.
God,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's that time of year.
It's that time, and it's only going to get worse. Well, like I said, it is the 13th of October, 2019. We're on this day in 1905. Sir Henry Irving dies. Who was Henry Irving?
Henry Irving was, he's the man who is behind the Irving muffin, if you're familiar.
Oh, yeah. Do you like them?
Yeah.
They're delicious. They're tasty. They're so muffins. Good. Oh, I love breakfast muffins. Like English muffins. Oh, they're so good. Butter on them, all melty.
Oh, yeah. God. You got to get them serious. And you know what's really nice with them?
Yeah.
A bit of cheese. Surprisingly.
Yeah. I think I had that at your house.
Probably, actually. Yeah. Because that's when we always made that. And pancakes and cheese is quite...
I've never
sweet,
had pancakes.
It's the sweet
and savory.
It's the sweet and savory. I mean, because we've talked about it before.
Thing is, they pack them in like boxes of like 8 or 10. And I was like, well, if I open them, I'm going to eat the whole fucking 8 or 10. This is like a little muffin, like, you know? There's nothing to this thing. Henry Irving, though, this Sir Henry Irving, was famous for playing, among others, Macbeth.
Oh, right, okay. He's an actor.
Yeah.
Mm. Good for him.
Who murdered sleep.
What?
Macbeth murdered sleep. Is that right? I don't know. It says here, famous for playing Macbeth, who murdered sleep. I don't know. So my list today is just about everything that keeps people awake at night.
Oh, okay.
So we have worry, bad dreams, pain, nightmares, fear, heat, cold, uncomfortable beds, bright lights, annoying pillows, noise, thinking too much, coughing and sneezing, hypnotism, ghosts, uninvited guests,
ghosts,
strong smells, a sinking feeling. Particularly common for those who sleep on punctured water beds. Jesus Christ. Allergies, animal storms, insomnia, and severe obstructive sleep apnea.
Oh yeah, that's a legitimate one.
That's a pretty it's a pretty real one. Do you have any trouble sleeping? I have to say, I got to butt in. My sleeping schedule is phenomenal.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's so good.
Remember we talked about this not so long ago?
Oh god, yeah.
You were like, you were cleaning up your act. And
that, that book was a game changer.
Was that Matthew Walker?
Yeah,
I'm still reading it.
That was a fucking game changer.
We're halfway through it now.
Yeah.
The thing that astounds me about that book is just some of the stats about like you're so much worse when you're not well slept, when you're not well rested.
Yeah.
It's like he can, I think he says in the book, it's like, I can tell you based on the amount of hours sleep, how well someone's going to do on an aptitude test.
Yeah.
Like it's that.
It's that clear.
Yeah.
It's that clear cut. Yeah, yeah. He actually told a story in the book. I don't know if you've read it yet, about the guy who's sleepwalk.
No, I haven't read it. No.
He sleepwalked.
Yeah.
So badly that he got up just through not sleeping properly. He got up, drove down the street to his mother-in-law's house, let himself in and stabbed her to death.
Oh my God. That took a bad turn.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
He was admitted after they finally realized just the severity of like what sleep deprivation will do. He just worked like something like 36 hours straight. And before that, he was on night shifts and stuff.
Right,
like
okay,
this. And the government, it was in America, obviously, the government was like, oh, well, actually, you know, we can kind of give leeway for this.
Yes, it's a mental thing.
He was properly like, what do you call that word when you're sorry for something?
Like remorse.
Yeah, he showed like loads of, it wasn't like I got these.
Was it premeditated?
Yeah, no, it was so yeah, sleep will kill me in one way or another.
It's insane. Like, but
my sleep's so good.
My sleep last night wasn't great because I ate fairly late. That all rhymed. So that's another thing that'll keep you up at night, is a full stomach.
Full stomach, yeah. It's just uncomfortable, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you don't sleep well because apparently your body's like, it's working. It's not in full rest mode.
This is it, right?
Digesting your food.
But what about that feeling you get after you eat like a big like Christmas dinner?
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
just
yeah,
gotta
yeah.
Pass out and just gotta sleep.
Yeah, that's like an evolutionary thing where it's like, all right, you're warm, you're fed, so you're probably not gonna die.
Yeah,
so it's safe to sleep.
Safe to sleep.
So
yeah.
Get it while you can.
It's so weird the way our bodies are like wired like that. It's mad.
No, it's absolutely mad.
I recently bought myself a new sheet for my bed.
Oh,
a
nice
high thread count sheet.
Yeah, Egyptian cotton.
Ah, it's so good. I bought myself two new pillows as well. Oh, nice. It's like, it's a game changer.
Oh, definitely.
It's a proper game changer.
We recently added a couple of pillows to our setup.
So higher up?
No, little small ones.
Oh.
They kind of like, you can kind of put in corners and
stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah. To like give yourself like, yeah, I get it.
I've got more angles to sleep in. It's just improved my quality.
I like it. I'm sleeping so well that I literally, when I turn out the light, I'm on my back for like 2 minutes and then I'm out.
Yeah.
And I'm on my back for most of the night.
That's very good.
It's just deep REM. Dreaming all over the place, coming up with mad ideas,
getting that RAM, getting that NRAM, getting all that
ORM, REM, good band,
getting your RAM.
Oh yeah, General RAM. Do you know there's a book out about General RAM?
Fucking hell.
It always comes back to gears.
Oh my god.
I'm wearing my Trash Paul jersey as well.
Any Gears of War fans? Shout out in the comments.
Do you know there's a book out about General RAM?
I didn't know
about
that, no.
It's a short book. I think it's only like 96 pages, but it's about
that's
how General RAM rose up through the ranks.
No, I didn't know that.
It's supposed to be
there's
great.
A comic about him as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just some other useless information there.
So, I forget what we were talking about. The list was about sleep.
Yeah, that's so. These chairs are really uncomfortable, aren't they?
I don't know. I don't mind, man.
I've got like one of like these, what do you call them? Like spools digging into like my hip.
Oh, is it? I have one of the...
Put the soundproofing on it.
The soundproofing. I have it on here as like a butt cushion.
I'm going to pick us up some cushions for these.
You should actually. Yeah, that'd be great. We should also get more soundproofing.
Yeah, that'd be great as well.
It's pretty garbage in here.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Garbage.
Our voice is just bouncing everywhere.
Back on track.
I'm going to tell you now where to find us. You can get the video version of this podcast over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast.
Yep.
Which is now 100% a thing, our thing. Yeah. That's where you'll find us. www.youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast. That is where you will find us for the video version. You will also find the audio version on any podcast hosting service, especially the best ones to go to, in my personal opinion, my professional opinion.
As a podcaster.
As a podcaster, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other.
The rest.
Yeah, the rest. I was looking at our analytics on Audioboom, and Spotify's up there, but Apple Podcasts is creeping up. Like
Apple Podcasts is probably the biggest one, I think.
It's taking over, yeah.
Audio Boom is another place you can find us.
Oh, yeah, Audio Boom, yeah. But yeah, you will find us there if you want to take us with you on the go.
Mm-hmm.
We have been listened to last week in Italy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, one of our listeners was on holiday in Italy.
Oh, right, I see.
And she decided to listen to our podcast.
Well, you know, you're in Italy. You know, the sun's shining, I presume.
What a great place to listen to our voices booming in your ears. You take in the lovely lush sea and the sandy, the undisturbed beaches and us two talking about nine Russian hikers
in the snow.
In the snow. Fucking tragic. Find that podcast, listen to it. All that out of the way, some news from this week, Dee.
Okay.
Something I want to touch on straight away. Did you hear about the marathon?
Yeah, that was my news.
Was that your news?
Yeah, it was my news.
Fuck,
yeah.
That's disgusting. That's incredible. Oh my God, one man.
It's really weird because I recently, I suppose this is how the YouTube algorithm works. I was just recommended a video about a guy who's talking about, is it possible to break a 2-hour marathon run?
Yeah.
And it was your guy Mike Boyd. Have you ever seen him?
Yes. Yeah.
And he got a couple of people on a treadmill to just illustrate the speed you have to go.
Did you see
13 mile an hour you have to run?
Most common gym treadmills don't even go to 13 mile an hour. Yeah,
it was insane. He was going full sprint. Speed,
yeah,
he went for, I think he went for 40 seconds.
Yeah, I seen that video too, actually.
And he got his local running group to come in, a couple of people, and like the best they could manage was a minute.
Yeah, like a minute 10 or something. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. The speed is phenomenal. But Eliud Kipchoge. Smashed it with 1:59.40.
That's insane. Which was 20 seconds to spare.
20 seconds to spare. So he ran like a 4:35 minute miles for 26 miles.
It's bizarre.
Like, I have no idea like just what it takes to dig in and do that. That's incredible. He had 70 pacers throughout the course of the day. Rotating, keeping like wind resistance off him and things like that. And they were actually measuring like the liquids that he was drinking.
Really? Yeah.
Like when they passed him like a water bottle, he'd drink it, hand a bag, they'd measure it and determine how much he needed to drink the next time he drank to keep like fuel in his body and stuff. So it was all... It was done in, where was this done?
Vienna.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
It's unbelievable. And anybody who hasn't seen it yet or heard of it, just look it up, because even if you're not, no interest in running or sports or anything, this is just something, this was history. Like,
I mean, the thing they keep comparing it to is like way back in the 50s, whenever they broke.
Roger Bannister did the 4-minute mile.
Mile. This is basically that, except.
This is it, right? I listened to, I think it might have been a Rogan podcast a while ago, and they talked about like, okay, so years ago, Roger Bannister did the 4-minute mile.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, everybody said it would never be beaten.
Yeah.
Shortly after he beat it, another like 30 people just beat
it. Yeah, it was like the space of 2 months, another person did it.
Because they showed that, you know, the human mind can go there. So I wonder, is this going to happen?
Well, this is it.
Are people going to think, holy shit, if I just push myself till I nearly die, I could...
That's it. I mean, because like there's people who can compete with Kipchoge. I mean, he's apparently like, he's a marathon running legend. Mm-hmm. I think he's like probably the best.
12 marathons, he's won 11.
There you go.
He used to be track and field.
So like short distance.
He used to be track. He used to be like 5,000 meters, and then he didn't qualify for Rio. So he went to, he tried to qualify for the marathon running. I think it was Rio. And it took off from there. So he hasn't actually been marathon running that long.
That's insane.
And he's just unbelievable.
Now he's won, and he's broken records. And, but that's, you know, the weird thing about this is that it's not like an Olympic or international recognized record because he had like rotating
pacers
and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like now that he knows that, okay, he knows that he can do it. And other people know that it's physically possible. Yeah. Right? So all you have to do is overcome basically the wind resistance and somehow keeping the pace.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
pace is phenomenal. Oh,
he could do it. Like
he could do it. Yeah, yeah.
He could do it in his next fucking marathon. I mean, his best marathon time, I think, is 2 hours, 1 minute.
Yep.
Or a couple, 30 seconds. Like he's not far off it in a proper competitive sport, like event. I think it's just...
it's such a crazy thing. Like, imagine running 26 miles in under 2 hours. Like,
90% of the people who are listening to this probably couldn't run at 13 miles an hour. Nope. Could you run at 13 miles an hour? For a short period?
At 13 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Maybe for like 2 or 3 seconds. I don't know. I don't even...
Because it's not really like a speed you'd even contemplate if you're going
to
run.
That's almost like a sprint.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like a sprint, you know?
Like if you have it in your head, like you're running a marathon.
I think that's like what an average person would do, like a 100-meter sprint in.
Yeah.
You know? To put that in context, yeah.
So like, I don't think I could do it. I think it would take me like weeks of training to get to like running for a second.
I ran a half marathon this morning and did it in 1:45.
This morning.
That's like my quickest ever time for a half marathon.
So you're 15 minutes behind his full marathon.
That's what I thought when I came in. I was like, he has ran double what I have just ran in 15 the same runs. Time.
It's bizarre. It's
unbelievable. Like, it's, man, yeah, unbelievable.
But there you go. That is, I mean, he should really be one of our fantastic human feats.
That would be pretty cool to do, yeah.
That is absolutely insane. Mm. Devastatingly fast.
I've actually never thought of sports people for fantastic human feats.
That's actually a really good example, because there's so much you could look into about like what he had to do to train. And
He lives in Kenya. Well, I don't know if he lives in Kenya. He's from Kenya. Kenyan, and he's training, you know, all the time at altitude there. And
It probably helps a lot and stuff. But just absolutely insane. And fair play. Just, it's times like this you have to be so proud of like what the human body can do.
It's huge for Kenya as well.
Oh yeah.
And their runners, like, you know what I mean?
They're so proud of their like kind of
unreal
sporting achievements.
And even when he finished, he gave credit to like every single one of his pacers. Like, mm-hmm. he was so humble about it as well.
Have you seen the video of him finishing?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have. It's so cool to see the pacers just fall back.
He pushed them. Have that moment.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. Like,
Check that out. Please check that out, because it's so good. This week, El Camino came to Netflix. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. No. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You've watched it?
Yeah.
I haven't got around to it yet.
I watched it because I was bored one evening, and 2 days ago I watched it, and I'll not talk about it too much.
Is it good? You can tell me that. Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, I have to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my personal opinion, no spoilers, obviously, it ties everything up in a way that I liked.
Okay. So it doesn't like kind of ruin what the ending did?
No. God, no. Respects it. Oh, I respect it wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
I do think, though, that if your opinion is the same when you watch it, but I think if I had have went to a cinema to watch this, I think I would have come out a little disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
The fact they went to Netflix, I'm like, this is good.
Feels so like you can just watch it in
one
your
big long episode almost. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
A film, even though
It's like a TV movie.
Yeah.
But a good one.
A good one. Yeah. Okay. So I'm not saying we'll come back to that next week because hopefully you'll
see it. I'll watch it hopefully by that point. Yeah.
The Rugby World Cup Typhoon.
People are getting, well, what is the crack? Have they decided what's going to happen with Scotland and Japan?
Scotland have been, it's a no-go. Their game is not going ahead. It's done.
They're
out.
They're livid. They're gone.
Yeah. They're pretty livid, yeah, of course. And Japan's the same, aren't they?
No, Japan.
Or Japan are through.
Japan will go through. Yeah. They'll go, but they won't, they'll have to go through second place now. So
yeah.
Ireland will
go through. Yeah. So chances are Japan are going to face New Zealand.
Yeah. Okay. So they would be quite annoyed about that.
Yeah. Or they could, you know, it could just be another massive topple. You know, Japan could be like, they're just such a proud country that they're just not going to just bow down. Do you know what I mean?
New Zealand are one of those teams.
They're just something else.
They just don't make those type of mistakes. You know what I mean? You know, South Africa, they let it slip 4 years ago. Ireland let it slip this year, you know?
Yeah.
I'm no disrespect to the Japanese rugby side, because like, they are very good and they capitalize on those sort of lacking performances.
Yeah.
But New Zealand won't have that. They just don't do that. It's not part of them.
It also has affected the latest Grand Prix, which takes place today. Do you hear about this as well?
Oh, no. I heard qualifying.
It's in Suzuka in Japan, and the qualifying has been put off yesterday. Now, as we speak, the race has actually already happened. I don't know what has happened, so I'll watch it after. But the qualifying has been brought forward to Sunday morning to 4 hours before the race.
Oh.
So they're going to have to qualify, and then race straight away. So it leads to this whole thing of like, driver fatigue, mental fatigue. Like, if you crash your car, wreck your car in qualifying, you're going to be out of the race straight away. So it's leaving it for a really nice race, especially when there's rain coming. And Suzuka's quick circuit. So it's going to be
a disaster.
I can't wait to see what's going to happen with this. So yeah. But I listened to Jamie Heaslip talk the other night, actually. And he said, they were questioning him about whether he thought, you know, could the organizers of this World Cup not have been like, hang on, we're hosting a Rugby World Cup in typhoon season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, should they not have been better prepared to have these games played under lights, you know, in different stadiums, you know?
Yeah.
Made a good point. I mean, it's the biggest thing in rugby, you know?
So if this happened in a World Cup,
Like soccer?
Yeah. Soccer. No, there would be...
There'd be outroar. Yeah,
like, it would be FIFA corruption.
If England went out of the World Cup.
Yes. I can't imagine that. Could you imagine? You know what I mean? But the thing is, and this is the thing that always comes back to it, is that the international, like, world rugby rules have this weird rule where it's already written in print where it says, if a match can't be played, it's not rescheduled. It's considered a draw.
Oh, really?
That's like an international world rugby thing. So Japan are just complying to that, right?
Okay.
So what Japan could have said, we're in typhoon season. There's a potential here. Let's make a one-time kind of adjustment to that rule.
Allocate.
So we have a couple of different options in case we have to postpone a match.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. I mean, that's up in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Scotland are going to pursue this and they're going to say, you should have.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
As far as I know, though, Scotland are the only ones who really
affected by it. Yeah.
I mean, I know New Zealand. I know it was Italy. Was it Italy? New Zealand was cancelled as well.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't matter.
They were never going to beat New Zealand. And the other one was it was England France.
That's right.
Which I don't think it would have affected the standings.
No, it's an extra day's rest for the players as well.
That's it. But then another way you could look at it is that was England's first real test.
True. So now they're going to have to go into the quarterfinals, and
so you're going into knockout stages without sort of a proper.
It's all up in the air at the minute. But still, the Rugby World Cup has been good so far this year. I think
I haven't seen much of it. It's just the timings being early in the morning. You know,
I watched. I was up early one morning. I watched New Zealand's. Who was it? Tonga. Oh, they absolutely just destroyed 79, like 5 or 3 or so, just trounced them. And I was like, they were just playing for fun.
Yeah,
you know, they weren't even. But I don't know. It's good to watch. You know?
Yeah, I love a bit of rugby union. Like,
just, oh yeah, yeah.
I just really enjoy that sport.
I have one other stupid bit of news here, D.
That's what I like to hear, Chris. I
think you will enjoy this. So Nike have released trainers which have been injected with holy water from the Jordan River, costing $3,000. Named the Jesus trainers, and they have sold out in minutes.
The Jesus trainers?
The Jesus trainers. Jesus shoes, sorry.
The Jesus shoes. They make you walk on water.
A limited edition Nike Air Max 97 trailer filled with water from the Jordan River in the soles have been released by Brooklyn-based company MSCHF. The trainers have been called Jesus shoes, and despite a price tag of $3,000 per pair, the shoes have sold out within minutes. There's a bit more on this, but the thing I took away from this was the trainers have also been printed with the Bible verse from Matthew 14:25, which records the story of Jesus walking on water.
Oh my God.
Various other Christian symbols are also featured on the trailers, including a red dot symbolizing Jesus's blood, frankincense scented insoles, and a crucifix attached to the laces.
Oh my God.
I have a picture of them here, Dee, and I will put this picture in the show notes for this episode just so you can see what these are like. But they have sold.
Let me see that. That is absolutely, oh my God.
Ridiculous.
It's literally a crucifix hanging off the fucking shoe.
Imagine how much more time would have been shaved from that marathon record even more in these trainings.
Chip Goge, if you had Jesus shoes, you would have an hour.
40 minutes.
That is insane.
Yeah, crazy, yeah.
The shit people will make and the shit people will buy.
It's scary.
I mean, that's not respectful to Christianity, surely. That is insane.
You imagine making the shoes to Allah or something that let out. Let out little bangers or something every time you walk. You know?
People will be incensed. Yeah, you know that's what I mean? Fucking ridiculous. You
know, with the scent of fucking 70 virgins or whatever, 30, I don't know what it is.
That's what it is. It's like Jesus Christianity. Christ. And I'm looking at America here because they commercialize everything.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Europe wouldn't stand for that. They'd be like, that's not respectful of our faith. But in America, they're like, I want a pair of them Jesus shoes.
You know what I mean? Them Jesus shoes make you walk on water, boy.
Not all Americans, by the way.
No.
I'm not shitting over.
We have a very loyal following from America. If anybody has a pair of those.
Oh my God.
That would be so cool to get in touch. Please.
I'm begging you. Yeah. Get in touch.
This could be your 15 minutes of fame. We'll get you on the podcast. We'll Skype you in or cold call you. We can just talk about
call you. Would we cold call them?
We'll just talk about your shoes.
They're like, hello? Who is this?
But that's all I had. I had a little bit on the Spurs bust up. Did you hear about that?
What's happening now? It's kind of, as a Chelsea fan, it's quite hilarious.
Did you hear about the whole Christian Eriksen's partner cheating, sleeping with another member of Tottenham Hotspurs?
Fuck,
and Harry Kane floored him apparently in the changing rooms.
Really?
Yeah, it all kicked off. Like, they were beating each other. So apparently now the whole Spurs camp is literally 50-50 on who they're taking. And I mean, watching Spurs at the minute,
you might explain.
Clearly see why they are fucking shitting the nest.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That always happens. Every couple of years, there's always a fucking football and drama shit. Funny enough, actually, the thing that was trending on Twitter the other day and I thought it was fucking hilarious is, have you heard about Rebecca Vardy and... Colleen Rooney.
It was on the front page of the paper, but I didn't see anything. The tag was Rue done it.
Rue done it.
What's going on? Can you explain?
Basically, it was like Colleen Rooney was having stories leaked to the Sun.
Loyal source that.
And she was trying to work out like where. So in pure fucking detective mode, she like changed her Instagram story so that only so many people were blocked from it.
Okay.
And she kind of like narrowed it down over the days and weeks and left it so that only one person could see her story. And then, you know, as it happens, those what was in those stories got leaked to the Sun. And she put this fucking hilarious Twitter statement up where she explained all this, and then she said at the bottom, only one account could see everything, and then ... it was Rebecca Vardy.
No, and the fucking way.
The internet went mad with that meme, just like ... it's Rebecca Vardy.
Oh my god, that's they have so little to be doing, like, you know what I mean? Like, all these wags with all their money, like, and
they probably fucking set the whole thing up. Like, we agreed to
publicity.
It.
They've been under the limelight for a while.
So. They're not famous people, as far as I know.
Their husbands are famous.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're bad, but they've become, you know, just they have to stay relevant.
Oh, that's what that's about.
But I just thought it was so funny, the whole fucking thing, and then
Rue
like,
done it.
Obviously, the football community has sort of taken off with it as well.
Jesus,
Rue done it.
I love a bit of drama. That is our news. We will put the show notes.
This
is the news you
that's
get
all
here.
We have.
I will put the in the show notes this week. I will include little snippets from all that, including a picture of the Jesus trainers, and that on the Spurs bus stop. Before we go into our main topic this week, remember you can find the audio version of the podcast over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any podcast hosting service, and you can find the video version if you want to see our pretty faces sitting around this table at the studio over at www.youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast.
Podcast.
that's us.
That's us.
That's all, folks.
So should we...
This brings us into the main topic. This is week two of our Spooktober Fest alliance party that's happening. That's happening throughout October. We are talking all things supernatural, scary, spooky, ghosty, paranormal,
good stuff,
whatever. And this week, D is going to bring a very special topic. I cannot wait to hear this. I'm looking so very forward.
I'm glad.
So I'll hand the reins over to you here, and you just work away.
I did like a lot of research, like genuinely looked into this. I was getting different sources from places because I was getting like caught up in the mystery of it all. I was like, this is fucking weird. I was just desperate to get to the bottom of things.
So I'll blurt out a few questions I have when I think of them.
Yeah, shout in, because like it's difficult whenever you're looking at it for so long. Some of the things that I'm talking about will seem like obvious and self-explanatory, but I'll be like missing crucial information.
First off, where did you first hear about this?
I actually had never heard of Skinwalker Ranch before.
Okay.
And the first time I heard of it was from the Strange Uncles podcast.
Yeah.
So the Strange Uncle podcast, they're a group of guys who kind of like investigate and discuss things of this nature. So
it's
paranormal,
podcast,
strange happenings, conspiracy theories, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like grounded, down to earth people. They do probably, they're not skeptics, but like they do believe in these things, but they kind of have a grounded approach about how they talk about it, and sort of, you know, they're more realistic than sort of some conspiracy theorists out there, which is why I kind of like them, right? But yeah, they had like a whole episode where they talk about Skinwalker Ranch, and they live quite close to where this is, so they actually went down and they have like a two-part special dedicated to it.
Okay.
This isn't what they did. This is just a discussion of what this place is, what happened there, and just how fucking freaky it all was.
Oh, okay.
Because, man, it's some of the shit is weird.
Okay. I'm looking forward to this.
Genuinely, like, skin-crawling stuff.
Yeah?
Skin-crawling walk. Skinwalker Ranch.
Oh, good.
Right.
Okay.
So.
Chapter
Skinwalker
one.
Ranch. It is a 512-acre ranch based out in Ballard in the state of Utah.
Okay.
In West Utah County, bordering the Ute Indian reservation.
Okay.
So straight up, yeah. We're middle of America.
Yeah. You're old Indian, ancient Indian burial grounds. Yeah. Okay.
Way out in the sticks, kind of a remote part of the world.
Excellent.
The infamous ranch has hosted some of the strangest paranormal events ever recorded, including UFO sightings, crop circles, impossibly large beasts, cattle mutilation,
beasts,
poltergeists, and even the ancient Navajo witch spirit, the Skinwalker.
Oh,
from which the ranch gains its name.
So the Skinwalker is an ancient evil spirit.
Yeah.
A witch spirit.
Yeah. Demon type thing. Lad. There'll be more discussion about this.
Good
as
God.
as we go through it all.
Why would anyone go there? As soon as I hear that, I'm like, nope, I'm done.
But there's been like all kinds of settings and stuff here, and reports about different things. But like, so much there.
A 500-acre ranch.
512-acre ranch.
Jesus, that's big.
Yeah, big plot of land, way out in the sticks. There's only like one road that leads up into it, of course. So, you know, way out there.
Utah is quite deserty, like, yeah, quite barren.
No, Utah is like, no? A lot of the stories here will discuss like snow and stuff. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, so it can get...
I know Utah from like a couple of the canyons and stuff from Aaron Ralston's book. Yeah.
Right now.
It must be a very...
I think it's pretty mixed. It's big state. Like,
yeah. Okay.
America, big country. Okay. But yeah, the Navajo considered this land dangerous for centuries.
I've heard of Navajos.
Navajo Indians, yeah. The big, like, that whole central, sort of eastern, central part of America was all Navajo, you know, before Europeans landed.
Right, okay.
Decimated them.
Yeah.
They considered this sort of, this area dangerous for centuries. And there have been reports of strange lights in the sky in the Utah County area for decades.
Right.
But the real story of Skinwalker Ranch begins in 1994.
Oh, fuck. Good year. Year we were born.
Year we were born. Great year. So, not so long ago, it all kicked off, Chris, whenever a family moved into a long-time vacant ranch.
Okay. Oh my God. Like, what is this?
So, these reports were... this is actually an interesting tidbit. So, these reports were kind of popularized by a journalist called George Knapp.
George Knapp.
Now, if that name seems familiar to you, it's probably because George Knapp is the same journalist who investigated and interviewed Bob Lazar in the 1980s. So this guy has a bit of a reputation for being, you know, kind of investigating this weird type of paranormal, UFO type stuff. You don't know who Bob Lazar is. He's the guy who kind of like, he whistle blew on Area 51. He started that whole... Yeah. Sort of
like what was in Area 51, the conspiracy behind it. We have a podcast based on them, so you can go check that out. Yeah,
But yeah, so George Knapp kind of already is kind of like into that.
He's
kind
an
of
investigator,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a journalist. Right?
Oh, he's a journalist. Okay.
But it's like people discredit him after the Lazar thing because he's like, oh, UFO. That's the UFO guy. But he does have a very kind of
people discredit Knapp.
Knapp. And Lazar, obviously, but he does have a fairly grounded, like, sort of approach, and a lot of his writings, and you can get all his writings online. He kind of talks about how some of this stuff is convenient that we could never prove it and stuff like that. He's not a skeptic, but he isn't sort of just believing all this stuff.
Yeah.
He trusts his instincts. Okay. He likes to have sources. He even says, like, when he was investigating and interviewing Lazar, he believed him. But he interviewed like about a dozen other UFO people who like whistle blew and all this year, and he says, no, they were all talking shit.
Right, okay.
But this guy Lazar is the real deal.
Okay.
So he has that, you know, journalistic kind of sense. You know what I mean? But anyway, so yeah, he was the one who sort of popularized Skinwalker. And this was many years after it was initially reported. So it was like in sort of the late 90s.
Okay.
Early noughties.
That's when this family moved in?
No, that's whenever it got popular. The family moved in 1996.
Right, okay.
So I'll get into that now, actually.
Okay.
So Skinwalker Ranch came to public attention in 1996 when a series of articles in the Utah Desert News detailed the strange goings on as experienced by the ranch's current occupants. The Gorman family.
The Gorman family.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Gorman family, not their real name.
Is that for protection?
That was for protection. Okay. Their real name has subsequently been revealed.
Oh.
So the Gormans are actually the Shermans.
Oh, Gorman.
So yeah. So Knapp talks about Tom Gorman in order to protect his identity. His real name is Terry Sherman and his wife is Gwen Sherman. So they actually came out a couple of years later and sort of announced who they were to the world. But for the purpose of this, I'm going to refer to them as the Gormans, because all of the stuff I read called them Gormans. Because it was written at that time.
Yeah.
So the Gormans bought Skinwalker Ranch in 1994. It had been vacant for 7 or 8 years prior. Their experiences with the strange and paranormal began on the very day they arrived.
Jesus. Oh my god. Welcome to our new home. The door just creaks open.
Pretty much.
Holy fuck.
So I've got some I got some quotes from the article by George Knapp called Path of the Skinwalker. So on the day the Gormans moved their furnishings onto the property, they had their first foreshadowing of the events that would follow. They spotted an extremely large wolf out in the pasture. The wolf cautiously made its way across the field and, to the surprise of everyone, sidled up to the family, acting like it was a familiar pet. So just walked up to them.
A wolf.
A massive wolf. It had rained that day, and the family remembers the wolf smelled like a wet dog as they were petting it. So they actually got up and were petting this fucking wolf. After a few minutes, the wolf strolled over to the corral. So the corral is like, it's kind of like a pen for cattle.
Okay.
But it's like metal. It's not like...
All right, okay.
It's kind of a thick way of keeping them contained. The wolf strolled over to the corral and grabbed a calf by its snout, attempting to pull it through the corral bars. Gorman and his father began beating the wolf's back with sticks, but it wouldn't release the calf. So Gorman goes to his truck and picks up a .357 Magnum. Shoots the wolf at point-blank range.
Mm-hmm.
The slug had no noticeable effect. So he just shot...
He shot a wolf at point-blank range and it did nothing.
Didn't react. Gorman pumped another bullet into the wolf, which then let go of the calf, but stood looking at the family as if nothing had happened.
Ah, Christ. You're in the wrong part of Utah, buddy.
Gorman shot it two more times with the powerful handgun. The big animal backed off a bit, but showed no signs of distress, not even any blood.
Ah, fuck.
Were these
farmers? Was that their...
Yeah, so, yeah, Tom Gorman is actually a fairly well experienced cattle breeder. And he has a background in kind of sort of biology. He studied it for a bit. So his plan was to come to this ranch, get like high value cattle and bulls and breed them into sort of, you know, more valuable offspring.
Okay.
So that was how he planned to make money off the ranch.
Ooh.
So he kind of knew what he was doing. He was not like new to this. The mystified rancher, Tom Gorman, retrieved a hunting rifle and shot the wolf again, once more at close range. Gorman is not only an experienced marksman, but a big game hunter of considerable repute. So he's an experienced hunter. Five slugs should have been enough to bring down an elk, let alone a wolf. The fifth shot caused a chunk of hair and flesh to fly off the wolf, but it still didn't seem fazed. After a sixth shot, the wolf casually trotted across the field into a muddy thicket. Gorman and his father tracked the beast for about a mile, following its paw prints through the mud, but the tracks suddenly ended as if the wolf had simply vanished into thin air.
Oh my god. Like, how do you even summarize that? No, how do you describe that? You know what I mean?
That's what was insane to me. Like, how do you have that happen on your very first day and just sort of get over, forget about it, and move on? Like, that's just a wolf.
Shot a wolf at point blank range.
Didn't react.
With a magnum and then with a hunting rifle, and it just walked away.
They returned to the corral area and Gorman examined the chunk of flesh that had been shot off. He said it looked and smelled like rotten meat. He made inquiries among his neighbors, but no one seemed to know anything about a tame, oversized wolf in the area.
Jesus.
So that is like the first encounter that the Gormans had. Another big encounter was one day when they were driving into the ranch on a bright afternoon. Gorman and his wife saw something attacking one of their horses. They described it as a low to the ground, heavily muscled, weighing perhaps 200 pounds, with curly red hair and a bushy tail. So just like a fucking... A
big ass fox or something?
Something like that. Heavily muscled.
Yeah.
Fox and 200 roids. Pounds? 200
yeah,
pounds
you wouldn't
fucking...
get... Yeah. 200 pounds? Fucking hell. That's nearly 100
they,
kilos.
They said it somewhat resembled a muscular hyena. And seemed to be clawing at their horse, almost playing with it. Gorman got within 40 feet of the animal, but says it literally vanished before his eyes. Poof. Just
Jesus.
Like that. They checked the horse and found numerous? They checked the horse and found numerous claw marks on its legs. A few months later, the wife of a deputy sheriff reported seeing a similar muscular reddish beast running across the property. So a hyena, a wolf, strange animals.
No fucking hyena. Yeah, you know what I mean? 200-pound hyena, like, holy shit.
So these were the kind of strange creatures that the Gormans saw. But by far the most common phenomena that they experienced on their time here was lightning orbs or lighting orbs.
So this is balls of like light.
Balls of light. The most common objects they witnessed were floating spheres of different sizes and colors. In 1995 and 1996, the Gormans and others reported 12 separate incidents of seeing large orange circles flying over the trees of their center homestead. So right above there.
Why do so many people say about large, like orbs?
I know, yeah.
Like that's coming from somewhere.
This is it. Like, you know? Tom Gorman claims that holes occasionally opened up in the orange spheres and other smaller spheres would fly out. A neighboring rancher told this reporter, so George Knapp, of his own encounters with what he called a flying orange basketball. So others had seen this as well. And this is something that had been like reported in like local history a lot. It was these like weird...
That this happened?
Yeah, like these weird things floating about. As I said before, there was like a history of like UFO sightings in this Utah county. And there's a little bit more about that later, I think. It was the appearance of one blue orb in particular that finally convinced the Gormans to sell the ranch.
Oh, yeah. So they didn't wait around too long?
No, they did not.
Okay.
One evening, people. And this kind of explains why. One evening in May 1996, so they've still been there, they've been there 2 years.
2 years.
Gorman was outside with three of his dogs when he noticed a blue orb darting around the field near the ranch house. Gorman urged his dogs to go after the ball. The dogs chased and snapped at the orb, but it dodged and maneuvered enough to stay just beyond the reach of their snapping jaws. The ball led the dogs out across the pasture and into the thick brush that borders the field. Gorman says he heard the dogs make three terrible yelps and then they were silent. He called for them, but they didn't respond.
Oh,
yeah. Christ. Just that's the worst.
Oh my God. So dogs are gone?
The next morning, Gorman went to look for the dogs. What he found were three round spots of dried and brittle vegetation. Just
fucking hell.
In the middle of each circle was a black, greasy lump. Just nothing.
Oh my
God. Gorman summarized that his dogs had been incinerated by something. One thing was for sure, the dogs were never seen again. This appearance of these dogs prompted the Gormans to think about getting out.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh my. So this blue orb then comes along, lures the dogs away into a forest. He hears them shout.
Hears them yelp. And he finds three fucking like, incinerated
like patches of
just madness, eh? Although the Gormans kept close watch on their stock when they lived here, then something began exacting a terrible toll. So as I mentioned before, Tom Gorman slash Terry Sherman was here to make his money by breeding livestock and kind of sort of benefiting from breeding like certain species together. But something was hitting their livestock.
What do you mean hitting?
As in like...
Like physically hitting?
Attacks
or
and eventually completely vanishing.
Like a...
So one cow was found dead in a field. A strange crisp hole had been cut in one of its eyes. There were no tracks or blood. Gorman wondered what could do such a thing. He noticed a strong musk odor around the carcass, a smell that he would come to know all too well. Other cattle were carved up as if with pinking shears, so just cut into fucking just different ways.
Oh my God.
As an experienced hunter and rancher, Gorman was more than familiar with the capabilities of natural predators. This wasn't been done by coyotes or mountain lions. The butchery was simply too clean and no blood was ever left at the scene of the attacks.
Jesus.
Soon, cattle started disappearing altogether.
Mm-hmm.
One of the animals vanished from a snow-covered field. Gorman saw that the hoof prints led into the field, but the tracks simply stopped as if the animal had been picked up from the sky. Like, just insane. A 1,200-pound cow leaves tracks in the snow, Gorman told himself. So what happened to this one? A 1,200-pound cow just gone. Like, in all, 14 of his prized animals were either sliced up or vanished. In one instance, a cow was found mutilated just 5 minutes after his son had checked on it. Something cut a hole 6 inches wide and 18 inches deep in the animal's rectum. The cored out section extended into the cow's body cavity, and still there was no blood on the cow or on the snow covered ground.
No blood.
So something cut Something cut a hole fucking 18 inches deep and there was no blood. Just...
Dad, what's going on in this
And this place? Was 5 minutes after his son had checked on it. So it's fucked, like...
And they're saying that there's no way this can be natural. There's no natural things to do this.
In his opinion, it's not a natural predator can do something this precisely.
Like, there's got to be blood.
Exactly, like, it's just... And what, like, oh, it's just so weird, like... I mean, like, the thing I was thinking at this point is, like, a person could do this if a person really wanted to fuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this was in fresh, like, snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no hiding that.
Yeah, you'd see footprints, you'd see struggle marks and stuff like that. It was just weird, like... One day, now this is really weird. This is where it starts getting a little bit more kind of...
Starts getting?
Yeah, but at the time, the stuff just seems to be happening. After this point, you started to see a pattern of this being, like, malicious, right?
Okay.
One day, they were passing the coral that contained their four bulls. So their four bulls is like sort of their...
They're their breed and pride, like their pride and joy.
That's what they... They need these things to sort of make the... Yeah. Continue to create livestock, right? They commented to each other. This is husband and wife, Tom and his wife, or Terry and his wife, Gwen. They commented to each other that if they would really be in trouble if something were to happen to these bulls. When they returned to the ranch less than an hour later, all four of the bulls were gone. The Gormans began a frantic search for the missing behemoths, but couldn't find a trace. As a last resort, Gorman decided to peek into a metal trailer that is situated inside the coral. He thought it highly unlikely that the bulls would be inside because from the coral there is only one door into the trailer and it was secured with a thick metal wire that was clearly still in place. Gorman was shocked to see that all four of his bulls were inside the trailer, squeezed like so many oversized sardines into the tiny enclosure, crammed in against the sides of the trailer and against each other. When he yelled to his wife that he had found them, the bulls seemingly woke up as if from a dream state and started kicking the hell out of the trailer and each other.
Oh, shit.
He says there is simply no way that anyone could coax four of these bulls into that trailer. Okay.
What the hell?
Sorry, that wasn't Tom Gorman. So I'm going to introduce a new person to this. A guy called Colm Kelleher.
Okay.
Who was a microbiologist. He was a PhD microbiologist. Now, okay. He wasn't here at this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he will become very familiar with the Gormans and the Skinwalker Ranch in the coming years.
Okay.
So he was actually one. He said, there's simply no way that anyone could coax these four bulls into that trailer. It would be too tough. It would be tough enough to get one of them into the trailer, but all four, virtually impossible. The Gormans did not miss the fact that the bulls had went missing after they commented on their importance, as if whatever had done it could hear them and reacted. So this is where it starts to get fucking weird.
As if it's properly toying with them.
Exactly. Like it's messing with them.
My God.
There were other sort of phenomena that happened throughout the Gormans' stay. The pastures would unexplainably light up at night like a football stadium, like just floodlight.
Floodlight.
They claimed to have seen shafts of light that seemingly emanated from the ground. They and others say they heard what sounded like heavy machinery operating underneath the earth. They heard voices. Tom and his son and his nephew remember hearing a loud disembodied conversation in some unintelligible language. The disembodied male voices spoke in what the witnesses say were a mocking tone and sounded like they were emanating from 20 or more feet above their heads, but they saw nothing. The dogs accompanying them growled and barked at the voices and then took off in a panic. So interesting there that they said an unintelligible language, but they could still make out like this mocking kind of a tone. The Gormans also reported phenomena similar to crop circles. One formation found in their pasture consisted of three circles of flattened grass. Each circle was approximately 8 feet in diameter, jeez, and they were arranged in a triangular pattern, with each circle about 30 feet from the other. So like 30 feet, 8 feet, like big, well laid out, like distant from each other. Keep in mind that there is only one road leading into the ranch. Anyone coming in or going out would almost certainly be noticed by the Gormans or their neighbors. So, I mean, crop circles, like, a lot of them we know were like hoaxes.
Hoaxes, yeah. Sure. People that have done them, pranks and stuff.
But like, this was like, they had to get right through the Gormans' property to get into this place. So by mid-1996, the family was a wreck. The UFO, balls of light, cattle mutilations, animal disappearances, Bigfoot sightings, or the creature sightings, is what they kind of considered that, and the Skinwalker legends, which we'll get to in a minute. were all bad enough, but there had also been an ongoing series of more personal events. Things that had occurred within their home that had made normal life impossible. They saw apparitions in the house, blinding lights, dark creatures peering in the windows, furnishings, tools, and everyday items moved around, disappeared, or turned up in unusable places. One of the things that was like sort of detailed was the wife had brought groceries home one day, mm-hmm. unpacked them all into the cupboards, left the room, came back in, everything was back in the bags.
Oh.
Just fucking weird shit. Just
messing with them. Yeah. Oh my God.
No one could sleep. And when they did manage to grab a few hours, they were plagued by violent nightmares, often discovering later that different family members had experienced identical dreams.
Yeah.
The two kids.
They're not fucking dreams.
The two kids, honor students before arriving at the ranch, saw their grades plummet. Mrs. Gorman lost her job at a local bank because of her repeated absences and disturbing water cooler tales. So chatter in the water cooler. hoping for safety in numbers, the Gormans slept each night on the floor of their front room.
Yeah, so they're banding together here?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This must be shortly before they leave then, is it?
This is at the absolute end of their tether.
Yeah.
So this is when things kind of change up a bit. But it is by no means the end of the story, Chris. In mid-1996, the Gormans were ready to call it quits.
Mm-hmm.
Despite having lost substantial money in their pursuit, they were sort of willing to sort of just cash in what they had.
Yeah.
Get
out. Yeah.
It was also at this time that Tom Gorman contacted local reporters about his experiences, which was described as an out-of-character move because he was kind of like a very sort of keep-your-business-to-yourself kind of man. But it was these reports which managed to catch the attention of Robert Bigelow. So this is a new guy. Bigelow had just recently founded a group dedicated to investigating and researching the paranormal called the National Institute for the Discovery of Science, or NIDS, N-I-D-S. So Bigelow was this kind of like real estate mongol mm-hmm. from some city, so I forget where he was from. But he had like a really keen interest in like the paranormal.
Okay.
And had used his money essentially mm-hmm. to form this NIDS society. Mm-hmm. A couple of other things about NIDS. They were set up to research and advance serious study of various fringe science and paranormal topics, most notably UFOlogy.
Okay.
UFOlogy? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually checked out their website. They're now defunct.
Oh.
So they were founded in 1995 by Robert Bigelow.
Mm-hmm.
Were privately financed and operated until 2004. So they lasted for about 9 years. And the guy I mentioned earlier, Colm Kelleher,
mm-hmm.
he was their deputy administrator and was sort of the main investigator.
Why did they go out of business, or was it just money or something? Why did this stop?
I'll get to that sort of as we go on. This is their mission statement that I have from their website.
Yeah.
The National Institute for Discovery of Science is a privately funded research institute engaged in the research of aerial phenomena, animal mutilations, and other related anomalous phenomena. So
okay.
They were basically just looking to find answers to the paranormal, mm-hmm. to the weird shit. So Bigelow, mm-hmm. when he heard about this on like a local, I think he heard it on like on radio somewhere, mm-hmm. he immediately flew into Utah and offered to buy the ranch outright from Gorman for $200,000.
Jesus.
So straight in.
Yeah.
And not only that, he also convinced the Gormans to stay on at the ranch as caretakers and offered them moral, emotional, and financial support to do so. So he wanted to keep them there.
Okay.
It's at this point that NIDS take over the ranch.
Okay. So this guy has come in and just said he's heard about the ranch and he wants to pay this family. I take it he's got to like study what's going on with the family, but he needs like guinea pigs as such, is that right?
Kind of. I think he kind of just wants the ranch to keep operating mm-hmm. while they set everything up.
Okay.
So that whatever's been happening continues to happen.
So NIDS take over the ranch in 96?
1996. They completely seal it off. So they hope to turn it into a paranormal laboratory filled with high-tech monitoring equipment and round-the-clock observations to record any and all paranormal behavior.
Shit.
So the important thing to know about NIDS is that they are dedicated to a scientific approach to their investigations.
Okay.
So Bigelow is like strict about this. He's like, this has to be, if we find anything, we have to be able to put it out to the world as like verifiable.
Legit.
Legit.
So they need to kind of cover all grounds in exactly. terms of like, they have to rule out that kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. So like half the time what NIDs spend doing is if something weird happens, they're trying to find the most realistic, plausible answer. So this is kind of like, this is like the level that they're at.
Okay.
Most of their staff are PhD or doctorate scientists.
Okay. So they're pretty high. Yeah. So they know their shit. Like.
Yeah, pretty much. One of them I've already mentioned, Colm Kelleher, a biochemist with 15 years of cell and molecular biology experience. He led the investigation for many years. Because the subject matter itself is so controversial in science circles, NIDS realizes that any deviation from the scientific method would mean a loss of credibility. If they were deemed a crackpot organization, their findings would, no matter how profound or well documented, would be dismissed out of hand. So if they don't have the proof straight up, then everything they do will just be like, nah, it's bullshit. So what did NIDS discover at the ranch? Contrary to some predictions, the odd phenomena at the ranch didn't evaporate under the glare of scientific scrutiny. Activity continued but grew even harder to comprehend. NIDS staffers saw the same balls of light, even UFO-type craft that the Gormans had seen, but their attempts to photograph or videotape the sightings were largely futile. Team members accompanied by Gorman and former lawmen were hired for the study, often saw anomalous aerial phenomena with their eyes, their binoculars, and night vision equipment. With few exceptions, however, the images inexplicably could not be recorded on film or video. So, yes, they saw a lot of things, but they couldn't get it on camera, right? After 7 months of round-the-clock surveillance, a mind-boggling pattern began to emerge. The phenomena, whatever they represent, seemed capable of anticipating the moves of the scientists. If they placed extra cameras and personnel in the southern field, the activity would pop up in the northern pasture. If they concentrated their observations in the center homestead, the activity might move to the ridge overlooking the ranch.
Okay.
So as they did things to catch...
It moved somewhere else. More toying with them.
More messing around, Chris. Exactly. Something happened on July 19th, 1998 that sheds further light on the challenge faced by the research team.
Okay.
So we're now 1998, so they've been here basically 2 years, right? At exactly 8:30 p.m., three cameras were suddenly disabled. When NIDS staffers went to check out the problem, they saw that something had shredded their electronic equipment. Wires had been ripped out of the cameras with considerable force. Plastic brackets were snapped in two. Thick layers of duct tape that had been used to secure the equipment had been ripped away. A foot-long piece of TV cable was missing. Analysis of the remaining cable showed it had been slashed with a knife. So their camera equipment had been shredded, right? But the team members were excited because they knew that the other cameras that were set up would have caught all of this.
Right.
So they ran back to their command center knowing that the telephone pole that had been assaulted was in full view of cameras located about 200 feet away. But when they rolled the tape back, they saw nothing. At the exact moment the first camera package had been vandalized, nothing visible could be seen anywhere near the second telephone pole. This incident set a pattern for what was to follow.
So they just see nothing? Did they not even see, like, so it just looked like the cameras were still there?
No, or they literally, all they could see was...
the shit being ripped out of them?
No, they seen absolutely nothing. No.
Oh, shit.
It's like, I don't know.
It's like one step forward, two steps back for these guys already. Exactly. Holy shit.
Colonel John Alexander was a retired Army intelligence officer at the time. He called it a precognitive sentient intelligence. So this is, they've kind of become aware now that every time they do something, this thing changes.
It's aware of what they're doing. Okay.
Alexander is reluctant to jump to any conclusions, but suspects after exploring the property and reading the witness reports that there is an intelligence behind this assorted phenomena and that it almost seems to be playing a game. So they can feel what's happening here. Another NIDS staffer who held a doctorate in physics believed that it's some kind of consciousness, but it's always something new and different, something non-repeatable. It's reactive to people and equipment, and we set up the ranch to be a proving ground for the scientific method, but science doesn't seem amenable to the solution of these kinds of problems. So it can't be, it's non-repeatable. It doesn't do the same things over and over mm-hmm. again. Every time they set up a yeah. test to catch it, it does something different. Exactly. Yeah. It moves somewhere else. It was all kinds of things, Chris, that they experienced when they were here, right? Yeah. Including magnetic anomalies.
Ooh.
This is just really weird. Researchers recorded 7 distinct incidents involving magnetic anomalies. Simply put, their compasses went nuts. The needles of the compasses either spun out of control or pointed straight down to the ground. No one can find a reasonable explanation for this. One of the weirdest things that they encountered while Nids was at the ranch.
Because that's not weird enough already.
There's so many weird things. On March 12th, 1997, barking dogs alerted the team to something lurking in a tree near the house.
Tom Gorman, something in a tree. I hate when dogs bark as well.
Yeah. It's like, because they know. Yeah.
It's like babies, you know.
Tom Gorman, who's like always seems to be there, grabbed a hunting rifle and took off in his truck towards the tree. 2 Nid staffers followed up in another vehicle. Up in the tree branches, they could make out a huge set of yellowish reptilian eyes. The head of this animal had to be 3 feet wide, they guessed. The bottom of the tree was something else. Gorman described it as huge and hairy with massively muscled front legs and a dog-like head. So kind of like what the other reports we had from earlier when the Gormans were there.
Oh, shit.
Tom Gorman, who we know was an experienced hunter, mm-hmm. a crack shot, fired at both figures from a distance of 40 yards.
Okay.
The creature on the ground seemed to vanish. The thing in the tree apparently fell to the ground because Gorman heard it as it landed heavily in the patches of snow below. All 3 men ran through the pasture and scrub brush, chasing what they thought was a wounded animal, but they never found the animal and they saw no blood. A professional tracker was brought in the next day to scour the area. Nothing. But there was a physical clue left behind.
Ooh.
At the bottom of the tree, they found and photographed a weird footprint, or rather, claw print. The print left in the snow was from something large. It had 3 digits and what they guessed were sharp claws on the end. Later analysis and comparison of the print led them to find a chilling similarity. The print from the ranch closely resembled that of a velociraptor.
What?
Yeah. This is just madness. Like, I don't know if that's legit. Like, a velociraptor just seems completely crazy to me.
What the fuck? So it's a fucking dinosaur in the ranch.
For the record, no one at Nids is saying he shot a velociraptor.
Yeah, but
they don't know what it is.
Okay, but the kind of print matches that of a velociraptor.
That's the similarity that they found. Like, just fucking insane. I don't think it was a velociraptor, but that was the first time, not the first time, but that was one of the rare times that they had some physical evidence sitting left behind from one of these experiences.
Fucking hell, this is one weird ranch.
Oh, it's the weirdest fucking ranch of all time, Chris. 2 days before that incident, a calf was completely stripped of its flesh while the Gormans were 200 yards away. There was no blood on the ground or on the animal, and analysis revealed that the calf had been butchered by instruments resembling a machete and sharp scissors. This was done in broad daylight in the clear sight of the ranchers.
So did they watch? They watched it happen?
No, they didn't.
It was happening
out in the pasture. They were just over at the sort of shed, we'll say. It happened without a sound, without them seeing anything. They were alerted to it by the mother cow, reacting. And here is officially the weirdest thing that happened.
This is the weirdest thing.
It's also kind of the most
out there.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty out there, to be fair.
I like out there.
One night, while the Nids team was observing the ranch from atop a bluff, so kind of like a cliff or whatever, they noticed a faint yellow light appear 150 feet away from them. So pretty close. One of the researchers grabbed a pair of binoculars and watched in stunned silence as the yellow light grew larger and transformed into a tunnel. "Something's in the tunnel," the man with the binoculars said in a panic. As he watched, a large, black, faceless humanoid lumbered out of the tunnel and walked away. The yellow light then slowly faded until it was completely gone. As the researchers tried to make sense of what they had just witnessed, they came to the horrific realization that whatever had climbed out of the tunnel was now sharing the darkness with them.
So it's like a portal?
Fuck only knows what it is, Chris.
Oh,
but like that is
that sounds
weird.
Pretty portal-like to me.
They spent the rest of the night and most of the next day searching for footprints or signs of the creature's presence, but came up entirely empty-handed once again. Nids tried for years to explain what caused the events at Skinwalker, but always fell short of anything concrete. So it was always something like that. Like, they never could grab the physical evidence.
But they witnessed it.
But they witnessed it. And there's been so many accounts and reports, but they could never publish anything because,
yeah, because it
didn't meet their criteria.
Yeah.
But despite them not having a conclusive answer, they're having many theories about the source of the mystery throughout the years.
Okay.
And the most common of which is the thing which gives the ranch its name.
The Skinwalker?
The Skinwalker.
What is a Skinwalker?
Skinwalker is a term given to a shape-shifting being, a witch spirit in Navajo cultures. So in the ancient or Navajo Indian cultures. It is a type of harmful witch who has the ability to turn into, possess, or disguise themselves as an animal. The Navajo are reluctant to discuss the Skinwalker to outsiders due to its taboo nature, and the local Ute Indian reservation take the Skinwalker mythology very seriously.
Oh, okay.
So there's a local historian in this area called Joseph Jr. Hicks.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who kind of reported about all these UFO sightings throughout like the 50s and 40s. Yeah. But he has kind of like a rapport with the local Indian community.
Yeah.
And he says that, he says this: they think the Skinwalkers are powerful spirits that are here because of a curse that was put on them generations ago by the Navajo. The center of the whole legend is this ranch. The Utes say the ranch is in the path of the Skinwalker. Tribe members are strictly forbidden from setting foot on the property.
So the Navajo people, they won't come near it?
They don't go there. And it has been this way for a long time.
Shit.
Another popular sort of conception with the Skinwalker is the idea of it's a interdimensional being.
Yeah.
Sort of portals.
Yeah.
It can take the shape of animals to disguise and move. You think about the wolf, which greeted the Gormans on their first day, almost as if welcoming them to the property. Yeah. Another phenomenon described in Navajo witchcraft is the use of lightning as a weapon.
Okay.
So the idea of using lights to scare, attack, and control.
And there was a lot of lightning?
There was a lot of light, like so many incidents of them seeing orbs in the sky. One of the things that the Navajo believes that it can control minds. So you think about the cattle that were herded into the shed as if they were in a trance. There's a lot of poltergeisty type of stuff that you hear about the Gormans describe. It could be put down to this Navajo skinwalker poltergeist demon spirit.
Freaky shit, dude.
Man, it's crazy. Like, I mean, I don't know if like. Listen, I don't know if I believe all that, but like,
well,
some of that freaky shit.
Oh, those Indians, like, they knew something, or there's some weird shit going on with them, like, you know.
It's fucked up, like.
Ancient Indian history is like.
Yeah. I mean, and they have been on that land so much longer.
Exactly, yeah. They know the land.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And they don't go there.
No.
For one reason or another, they do not go there.
Like, so they still live nowadays?
They have like a reservation nearby, and they still like, they completely adhere to that. They do not go on that ranch.
Oh.
It's like
sacrilegious
for
them.
Yeah, it is sacrilegious, exactly. Like, you do not go there. It is dangerous. They consider it a real danger.
So do they believe that this Skinwalker thing then is out to get them as such? No?
They think it's just like a witch. Like, I mean, my interpretation of it is basically what we consider a poltergeist.
Yeah.
Just like a creature or a spirit or something that
can
is
take
not
the shape of something else, of anything. And
But it's not kind.
It's not a kind.
You know,
but,
it's just there.
It's malicious. Like.
Exactly. For whatever reason. A lot of the UFO community sort of believe that the orbs in the sky are extraterrestrial. And that is kind of explains the extraterrestrial beings coming down, messing with the cattle.
With any UFO stuff, the orbs always seems to play a role in the story.
I mean, like, a lot of the time the orbs are kind of explained by things like, there's like ball lightning and stuff like that. Yeah. But some of the stuff they describe, the Gormans describe.
That blue orb that killed the dogs, apparently?
Yeah.
How the hell do you describe that?
They also describe it moving, like, not naturally.
Naturally,
you know, like, it moves over and back and over and back. They describe it, like, moving around the heads of animals and stuff like that. just there's like, there's so much more like detail that I kind of glanced over just to make this kind of a little bit more
niche.
Or what was the word, you know, sort of streamlined.
Yeah.
Obviously, skeptics believe it's like predatory animals that are doing these things, and then like,
how can you believe it's a predatory animal that leaves no blood, that leaves
is weird. But then at the end of the day, NIDS didn't find that conclusive proof, and at the end, you know, it's the Gorman's word.
True.
Really, you know.
True.
But like, so many people, like NIDS had so many people on this site for fucking years.
Yeah.
And like they all have their, they could never publish anything, but they had this is an interesting thing actually about NIDS. They did publish some articles, so they published things about cattle mutilation and other things. I'm not 100% sure, but mainly like they had concrete proof that these cattle were being mutilated. Like that happened. That 100% happened. They reported on it, they published it, that happened for sure. Whether that was a person doing that, an animal doing that, or a fucking skinwalker doing that, like that happened. And NIDS were there for years reporting things, trying to prove
ways that it could happen.
Ways that it could happen, realistic ways or non-realistic ways. George Knapp actually mentions that on his visit, nothing out of the ordinary happens, apart from a flash of light that they see near sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of goes away with going, don't know what that was, but it's fine. And about two or three weeks later, Nids get in contact with him, explaining that was a missile launch that happened like so many miles away. Like that's what they were doing. They were trying to prove.
Disprove basically everything that happened.
Exactly. Because they needed to find something that was concrete.
Wow.
So
nothing happened at the ranch when Knapp was there?
No. When Nids were there. And Knapp was there a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
They actually brought him in as bait. I'll actually explain that now. Mm-hmm. So most of the details that I've went through there all come from an article written by George Knapp. He was granted access to the Skinwalker Ranch while it was still under NIDS control. He noted that at his time of visiting, nearly all unusual activity had subsided for the best part of a year.
Mm-hmm.
NIDS was then disbanded in 2004, and their findings on Skinwalker were completely inconclusive. They never found that concrete evidence. So they never found that evidence, but this is not for a lack of experiences and reports.
Yeah.
There were countless oddities recorded in their articles, but nothing to satisfy the scientific scrutiny that they were being held to. Many of the scientists working for NIDS did not want their names associated with evidence that would not hold up. And so despite the experiences that we've talked about, nothing concrete ever came out of Skinwalker.
So they have come out and said that nothing concrete has ever come out of the ranch.
No, they never said that. They just never published anything concrete.
It did happen. they just couldn't.
Well, they've talked about their experiences, but they never. So what they wanted to do was write an article that said, we know definitive proof that this shit happened and it can't be explained by normal means.
But they couldn't write it.
No, they never got the tent. They never got the photographic evidence. They never got the right conditions to test it. You know what I mean? Because it kept changing. Which, I mean, if you're a skeptic, you look at that and go, as soon as they tried to do something scientific, they couldn't prove it. That means it was all just...
It's all just... bullshit. Yeah, okay.
But they these people still talk about it as if...
It
happened to them. They just couldn't prove it. But, I mean, some of these guys maybe are a little bit more willing to believe than others.
Yeah, of course.
Colm Kelleher in particular, like he...
He is willing. Yeah, he's the...
He believes, like...
Yeah, he's the guy, the mogul.
No, that's Bigelow.
That's Bigelow.
Colm Kelleher was like the leader. He was the lead investigator on NIDS while they were at Skinwalker Ranch.
He
was eager to believe. Like, a lot of the things that like couldn't be proved, he was willing to sort of put away. We couldn't prove that because of this. We couldn't prove that because of that. But this definitely is happening. But yeah, they never got that concrete evidence that they wanted. NIDS was disbanded in 2004.
Okay.
So basically Bigelow wasn't funding it anymore.
Yeah.
Bigelow himself he wound up making like an aerospace company.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he got contracts to investigate UFO sightings with the US government and stuff, Department of Defense. So he's still very much in that realm, even though like NIDS has kind of been disbanded.
Jesus.
But the mystery of Skinwalker still does not end there, Chris.
Right.
Because in 2016, Bigelow sold the ranch to a private corporation called Adamantium Real Estate.
Adamantium?
Adamantium.
As in Wolverine?
As in Wolverine's
Adamantium skeleton. Real Estate?
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, after this purchase, All roads leading to the ranch have been blocked, the perimeter secured and guarded by cameras and barbed wire, and surrounded by signs that aim to prevent people from approaching the ranch. Adamantium Real Estate have remained quiet on the matter, so who knows what's been happening on the ranch as of late.
So you can't get to the ranch, you can't go to the ranch?
It's all closed up, you cannot go there. It's okay. Private property, and they've said that they're willing to enforce that.
It's a wonder they haven't cashed in on this. You know, start doing tours.
This is the thing. Now, people are like theorizing, what are Adamantium doing there? Like, I mean, are they setting up, they're trying to replicate what NIDS did. They're trying to set up like a closed.
It's all quite hush hush.
Exactly. You know, are they closing the place down so that they can investigate, you know, in a kind of clean environment? Yeah. Or are they shutting it up, doing it up into like a fucking theme park?
Jesus Christ.
God, I mean, it was the fact that they're real estate. Maybe they are just like holding on to the property because they know the mythology of it will just grow, and eventually they'll sell it for a fucking mint someday.
Clean fortune, yeah.
Or it could be the most, you know, dull answer ever. It's like, it's 512 acres of land and it was cheap.
Some shit like that.
But the fact that Bigelow didn't sell it in 2016, despite the fact NIDS was disbanded in 2004.
Yeah, so what did he do with it?
Exactly, you know. What was going on there, you know? Why wouldn't he sell a lot earlier?
Did anything else go on in between? Not that we know of?
There's been no reports, you know?
Okay.
Everything that's happened between then and now is all other people. So new people trying to go there and try and find something, new reports. And they can't get on the site. They can't go to the ranch.
I was going
to
say, between that time, were people able to get onto the ranch?
Not legally.
Okay.
You know, it's still, but I'm sure it was they still did. Private property. Some people probably did. A lot of people go... What the Strange Uncles podcast did, they went to a place nearby on like a sort of elevated ground so you can see
the
general area of the ranch. Okay. And you know, that's where people spot a lot of like the lights, the orbs in the sky. And things like that. So those settings have kind of continued and people still have a real interest in it, Chris. But as far as getting in there and proving anything, it's all sealed up at the minute.
What is that place?
No idea. And it's some of the freakiest shit I've ever read.
And right now today, so 2019, it's still owned by this Adamantium company.
This mysterious Adamantium Real Estate, and we don't know what they're going to do with the place. And it's just shut down tight. Don't know what's going on, man. So it's one of the weirdest fucking things I've ever read.
That is some creepy shit. Just some of the stuff that you're saying there, like the. First of all, like shooting the wolf at point blank range,
and it just didn't react.
And it didn't react.
Didn't react a bit.
This low to the ground 200-pound red beast.
This that's attacking. Fucking hyena in the middle of Utah.
Yeah. Large orange spheres, and then a blue orb that lured the dogs into the brush, and they were found
three patches of grass, and then this like lump in the middle of it. Like, you know, it just
livestock. Carved up, not natural, and the cow tracks disappearing. Like, that's...
No.
That's where does it disappear to?
Like, exactly.
Middle of a ranch, you know?
Cows being mutilated with no blood.
Forced into, like, this little trailer. I could picture that, and I'm like, how do you do that? After them saying, you know, if anything happens to these... Did anything happen to them, or...
No, they were fine.
They were fine?
They were fine after that.
So just fucking with them?
They got back and the bulls were gone. It's like, what the fuck?
But after them saying, you know, if anything happens to these bulls, we're rightly screwed. Exactly, and then all of a sudden... Yeah.
Oh, you know, and a lot of these people at NIDS who were there, like, there was army people, there was PhD scientists, physics, biochemistry, all that stuff. And they were all, you know, talking about things like precognitive... sentient intelligence. Like, they thought, Jesus this thing Christ. Knows what's going on, it's reacting to what's happening.
Are these people still alive today, the ones who own the ranch?
The Gormans?
Yeah.
I'm actually not sure. So they were... The weird thing is that Gorman was kept on as caretaker. And as far as I know, he was caretaker throughout the time that Bigelow owned the place.
Right, okay. So that entire time?
I think so.
Right, yeah. To like 2016?
Right, 2016. I don't know if he's still... Ooh. I mean... It's just weird. I don't think I definitely wouldn't have stuck around that long.
These Navajo people just believe that it was a witch spirit.
Well, the Navajo just
shape shifting kind of spirit. That's incredibly scary. Like, to me, that's freaky shit. Because these Indians know shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they are well in tune with what's going on in their land and curses and fucking voodoo rituals and all that kind of shit.
It's just really.
I get chills
weird.
Thinking about that. And this portal opening up, something walking out of it.
Yeah.
And then it closing up and disappearing. Like, that's
some of the crazier things I struggle to, like, I read that and I struggle to believe that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I just hear a one person's version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
The other things, like the wolf, like that was going on in his family. Yeah. Yeah.
But I like how it adds to that fucking mystery and intrigue. Like,
exactly.
Because of what you said beforehand, I don't disband it, you know?
Yes.
It's something that I'm like, it could have happened. It's very out there, but Jesus.
And the fact that NIDS were there for fucking years. Like,
years,
a team of scientists there for years.
Yeah.
It cost them so much money. Like, Bigelow was funding all this.
Yeah.
Privately. Like, they weren't getting grants or nothing. They were doing this.
Did he ever make, trips to the ranch, whenever?
I actually don't know, to be honest. I mean, imagine he definitely
Has he had any experiences?
He definitely, I mean, he flew out to Utah, so he was definitely at it when he bought it. He definitely
went. And it still exists now today.
Skinwalker Ranch is still there. People still go.
What does it look like? Have you seen pictures of it?
Yeah, it is. It's just like a big empty barn space. You know?
Jesus.
Just
and is there a house in it?
Yeah, there's a couple of different, like, not properties, but what do you call them? Like,
Buildings.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so. What did Strange Uncles come up with? Or should I listen to the podcast?
Yeah, you listen to the podcast. They just had some strange experiences, but it wasn't even the time that they visited. It was like the previous time. They kind of talk about those. I mean, I think if you go to a place like that, whether it happens or not, you're gonna feel
something.
Yeah,
yeah. You're willing yourself into believing that something is happening.
You read that stuff, like, you get chills reading that, and you go there, you're gonna feel something.
That's so
whether it's
strange.
Just your mind fucking with you, or if it's literally something there, I don't know.
I wonder how. Seems like the way you said it, like, as you say, like, the skin, like, the ranch is in the path of, like,
the path of the skinwalker.
The path of the skinwalker. So it's almost like a. You know the way there's like the paranormal investigators talk about, like, this path, you know, the dead take or whatever, you know, to get where they have to go. It's almost like that. And it's like.
Sort of like the transitional phase between our dimension and the next or whatever.
And this ranch just happens to be in the way.
I don't know. See, like, all that stuff, it's just weird to me, but.
I love that. Something's going on. I'm fully going to delve into this because that's. Thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's some weird shit.
There's so many people who are, like, dedicated to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's a big thing.
People go there every year.
Shit.
There's people who are looking into adamantium, trying to find out what's going on there.
But they're a very private company, are they?
I don't even know if they're very private in general. I think they have, like, you know, they're just like an operating company, but they haven't said anything about Skinwalker. They just own it, and that's it.
That's it.
It's just their property.
It's just in the back books.
Exactly.
Shit.
It's, you know.
Oh, what are they doing with it?
I don't know. They have guards on it. They have cameras on it. You know what I mean? It's like, they definitely don't want people getting in there. Whether that's just because they don't want people going in.
It's not even something like Area 51 that you could turn around and be like, oh, you know, it's government or something like that. Yeah, this is private, something beyond that. Like,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
When the native Navajo people won't even set foot in the ranch, you know you shouldn't be there.
Shouldn't be fucking with
Jesus. Well, thank you very much, Steve, for bringing that up. That's my pleasure.
Absolutely
stories.
Loved. I was up to about 1 o'clock last night
just
reading into that and fucking.
We will include as much of the show notes as possible, I guess.
Yeah, that's all.
How much of that, if you send that.
I got links. We'll
put it all into the show notes. You can check that out over at emptypromise.com.
There's a book, by the way.
Is there?
Hunt for the Skinwalker by George Knapp and Colm Kelleher.
No way.
So if you want to read in.
What's the book called?
Hunt for the Skinwalker.
Hunt for the Skinwalker.
And also look up Path of the Skinwalker. That's the article written by Knapp in the late 90s. And it's very good as well.
Did the father or the family ever write a book or give?
I don't think so. Actually, the most he ever did was go to the newspapers initially.
I'd very much like to read this book.
Yes.
But thank you very much. And if you're intrigued by that at all, please let us know what you think of this.
I hope it got you all spooked up for Spooktober.
Yeah, some weird shit. This is getting, like, Dyatlov was one thing, but this this is some weird shit. I'm looking forward to trying to top that again there next week. So, right, moving on from our main topic this week. Let's finish the podcast on a lighter note.
Oh, that's good.
Personal with the podcast. What do you want to discuss?
This is it. It's only been a week, Chris, and really not.
Well, I've had a couple of things.
Yeah, you kick it off.
Okay, so I Have just more so what I've been watching, dude, because I haven't had any really like notable food. So
basically, our personal podcast always comes down to what we've watched and what we've eaten.
What we watch, what we've eaten. Sometimes what we've done, but I haven't done a whole pile of them. Work.
Do much,
yeah, so. Exactly. It's not a good time of the year for doing things.
That's true.
I'm continuing to read through the Steve Jobs book.
Oh,
the autobiography.
Good.
So I'm nearly done that, and it's been
great. You must have been watching some videos on YouTube as well, because I've been recommending.
I watched the Apple or Jobs unveiling the iPhone way back in 2007.
I've watched a bunch of it now as well.
It's so weird how far we've come.
I know.
Like, you know, when he was unveiling the iPhone, like the first phone to touch and scroll, people were crying in the audience.
Yeah, they couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable, like yeah. I watched the original. Do you ever see the 1984 ad for the Macintosh that they made? They got Ridley Scott to do it.
Yeah, it's the one was like
he literally came off the back of Blade Runner and did this ad, and it's just like
this is this the black and white one, isn't it?
And yeah, the girl running up through with the sledgehammer. The oh thing, my god.
Think different.
Yeah. Apparently it's down as like it's been read a couple of times as like the number one ad of all time.
It was insane.
It's crazy. Like but yeah, I'm reading through that book. I watched the documentary on Netflix as well about Steve Jobs. I watched El Camino, and I'm continuing to watch BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
It is
very good.
Stellar. It's such good stuff. I also picked up True Detective Season 2 on Amazon for £4 on Blu-ray.
Fair enough. Have you watched any of it yet?
I watched the whole thing.
Oh.
have you seen it?
No, but I heard it wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's when you compare it to the first season, it's nothing.
Okay.
But when you watch, like, I kept trying to get out of that mindset going, okay, this is new people, different thing going on. It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not
as good. Yeah.
I think I give it like a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay, fair enough. Know? I mean, it's not bad television.
I have to, like, Vince Vaughn is quite good.
He
in
is
it,
quite
know?
Good. Yeah.
Considering like all I ever know him from is like stupid comedies and
I
stuff.
Know, yeah.
He does quite well. Colin Farrell is quite good, but it's not Anne Hathaway. It's
Rachel McAdams, isn't it?
Rachel McAdams. Yeah. She's very good in it.
Yeah,
she's very good. And Taylor Kitsch, is that his name?
Don't know him.
He's very good in it as well. But yeah, quite good. The movie that I wanted to talk to you about that you recommended for me last week was Spotlight.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my
very
God.
Very good film, isn't it?
Holy shit. That film is incredible. Film. Yeah. Like,
no, it's
so, so good.
Really well made film.
Anybody that doesn't know, Spotlight, film that came out, when did that come out? Like
4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
Michael Keaton, Mark Ruffalo,
Rich McAdams,
and I don't know who the other guy
is. Yeah, you had his name last week.
Did I?
Yeah, because I was like, I don't know who he is, and you give it to me.
And basically, they're a newspaper, like a band off the newspaper, would you call it?
Yeah,
and they start
an investigative journalist squad.
And they start investigating the allegations into the sexual abuse scandal in the priesthood in Boston in the 90s.
Is it the 90s or
80s, 90s? Yeah. 70s, 80s, 90s, somewhere around that?
I think it's 90s. I think it's later, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is, because the whole thing is about to go public in 2001.
Yeah.
But they can't because of 9/11.
That's right, yes.
Oh, my God. Because it's a true story, it's like Jesus Christ. It's just an incredible movie.
Really is.
So
very, very good.
Sucked me in so much. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
I don't understand how something about such a really morose topic can be so enjoyable
and
to watch.
And it's so mundane, really, like when you think,
Yeah, it is.
Liv Schreiber,
yes,
that's his name.
Yes,
the guy who played Wolverine's like counterpart,
his brother or something.
Yeah. Or Leave. Yeah, that's what I watched. It's incredible. Jesus, great movie.
Very good film. Yeah.
I need to go and see Joker.
As do I, for sure.
My parents went to see it during the week.
Did they? Yes.
And they said it was fucking excellent. Mm-hmm. They went to Max and all.
Oh,
I know.
Now, that's the right way to watch it.
Experience.
I've heard from the It's Obvious podcast that the cinematography is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
It just looks great. And then on top of that, you have Joaquin Phoenix being a phenomenal actor.
Did you hear about all the shit that's coming out now that people are protesting against it? Because it's apparently it's promoting the wrong kind of message against mental health.
Yeah, not really. I've heard people complaining that it's like it's going to encourage some people to go and do violent acts.
Yeah, and I'm like, I heard about all this and I was like, well, nobody's asking those people to go and watch the movie in the first place.
Well, this is it. Like,
you know, nobody's asking people who, you know, are suffering from this to go and watch Joaquin Phoenix portray the Joker who was that way and come out of it thinking, well,
that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
But like, the thing is about this as well is that this is inspired by, I think, Taxi Driver. So, I mean, really, you should tell people to stop watching Taxi Driver, which was made by Scorsese in the 80s.
Yeah. I've never seen Taxi Driver.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
But I know more than what happens. So, it's like, the films have been like this for years and years and years, and this is the latest one, so you're more than in your right to complain about it, but no one has to listen to you.
I've heard a complete 50-50 divide as well as Joaquin Phoenix being the guy for the part and Joaquin Phoenix being the wrong
guy for the part. I've heard nothing but the right guy for the part.
Yeah, from people who have seen it that I know and I've talked to, he is 100% the right guy for the part.
I mean, this is a very different Joker though. Like, it's not the Joker from from fucking Dark Knight. It's not the Joker from back in the day.
It's not Jack Nicholson. It's not fucking the Joker with Michael Keaton, Batman. This is like deep, dark, 21st century Joker. I have to go and see it before it leaves cinemas. Definitely.
For sure.
And I also want to go and see, is it Adamantium? No.
Ad Astra.
Adamantium is the fucking... so Skinwalker in the head.
Liev Schreiber, Wolverine. Yeah. Oh, it all links together.
Is he in it as well?
What?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I get where you're going with that. I really want to see that, actually. Yeah, definitely. I don't think I've watched anything else.
You watched a lot. You definitely watched a lot more than me.
Have I, yeah?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I have watched fuck all.
Yeah, I haven't.
Big Mouth on Netflix is out. The latest season of Big Mouth, if anyone watches it.
Do you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
I heard kids at work talking about it. It's quite crude, yeah?
It's very crude, but not... You know what? Family Guy was crude, but in like just a stupid way.
Yeah.
This is crude in kind of like an intelligent way.
Oh, okay.
Not intelligent. Intelligence is the wrong word, but just in like a smarter way. And it's good. It's
okay.
Very good. I also watched the very first episode of The Boys.
The Boys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The superhero thing on Amazon.
Any good?
Fucking very good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch more of it soon, hopefully, when I get the time.
Have you had anything good this week?
I had tofu yesterday for the first time ever.
How'd you have it?
A small bite of it. I don't know how I had it, Chris. I got it off somebody else's plate.
Okay.
Just walking through the restaurant and picking pieces up. No, I had dinner. I had lunch yesterday with Joe. Girlfriend, Jenny.
Yeah.
And she had tofu. I forget what it was, but I tried a little piece because I didn't know what tofu was. What did you think of it? It was grand,
Yeah.
It had the consistency similar to fish.
Yeah.
I thought, but I tasted of nothing.
Yeah.
But like whatever it was like cooked in was very nice.
Yeah.
So, have you had tofu,
I've had tofu, yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
It's a nice substitute for scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I had that, and I had a nice burger there as well, but...
Nice.
Generally speaking, nothing out of the ordinary.
I get it.
Food-wise.
I'm off tomorrow from work, so I think I might try to get some nice grub in tomorrow.
Some grub. Where would you go to treat yourself these days?
Food-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know. I still quite like enjoy my pizzas and things.
You make them yourself?
No, I buy them.
Like a Domino's?
I just make sure that the base is suitable for me. And sauces generally are. I don't get cheese on them unless they've got the vegan cheese.
Why though?
It's quite good though.
But why would you get a pizza without cheese?
I know, exactly. Yeah. Five Guys, I can have their fries. So I do tend to treat myself to Five Guys. Five Guys fries sell it for me though.
They are very good, yeah. You know.
And endless drink choices, so that's always good.
True.
I don't know where I go to treat myself. I've never really thought about it. Why? Are you just looking for
I'm looking for a recommendation, yeah. I haven't treated myself in a while. Well, I have. I've been having like takeaways and stuff, but now it doesn't feel like... It used to feel when I got a Five Guys burger, like that was fucking, so good.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, it is good, but it's not like, I want something new and different, Chris.
I get it.
Grass is always greener and I want to find out where that grass is.
I don't know. I've been cooking a lot for myself, so I don't really...
That's fair.
I haven't had any hankering sort for anything.
Hankering. You have a hankering
outside
for
food. So I can't help you with that one, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I did want to get Gears this week as well.
Pick it up. You should just blow through it because... I don't think it's going to be it's not a revolutionary game, but I just really want you to experience that campaign.
I've wanted to play it. I have so much now that's starting to go onto my backlog. Coming in this time of year is always whenever I start thinking, got to come home, cozy up, play some good games.
Yeah. Funny, PlayStation Now, their streaming service type thing where you like subscribe, but you got like a bunch of games. It's kind of like the Game Pass, but on PlayStation. Recently got a price drop and I was like, fuck, there's some games I want to play.
Yeah, The Last of Us is
The Last of Us on there and God of War is on there.
Ooh.
And
you've played God of War though.
I've played both those games. I like the idea of getting in a couple more new games.
I know, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I have no time to play them, but I just like the idea of getting them in to play.
See, they've announced PS5 will be the end of next year.
2020, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
hefty price tag, rumored.
Is that right?
$800 reduce.
Oh, fuck. That's going to be a hard sell.
That's what it's rumored at the minute. But remember the PS3 sold for 700 quid sterling?
Yeah.
And there's no way that machine was worth 700.
That would have been a $900 reduce.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can't say that I can justify it, but I kind of see whether if they live up to all the things that I'm kind of hearing about this console, and then it's basically a fucking computer.
Well, yeah.
A mini computer.
But you see, that's the thing, is that if you have a computer,
are you going to need?
Yeah.
I like console.
The thing with it, I don't think I'll ever buy a £800
no.
console. No. I'll wait till it's...
until it comes to reasonable
price. £300 or £400 Yeah. So they won't get a sale out of me, unless they have like just, I don't know, like... See, if they had done The Last of Us 2 as the
here is my seller, money.
Yeah.
Take my money.
But it's coming for PS4, yeah. So I think I'll just play
it
there.
They're going to have to have a big release for this, like a big game to push this.
They're bound to have something, Chris.
Horizon 2 wouldn't be big enough, would it? No, it wouldn't be big enough.
It might be.
Ah. Naughty Dog wouldn't be. Uncharted, anything in? No.
I haven't heard.
No.
But that's probably what they're doing, hopefully. Although I haven't heard their next big game. I don't know what their next big game is. But I don't know. I'd say then, if they're going to do that, I'd say Xbox will probably just undercut them by like $100.
I know.
And it'll probably just repeat that whole shit again.
I know.
And then it'll be like, oh, Sony have to catch up, so they'll have to have some good games.
I'm going to pick up FIFA this week for my brother.
Nice.
He wants FIFA, so. But I'm hearing that it's just nothing's changed with it.
It's FIFA, Chris.
Yeah. And I did want to play Call of Duty, and then I started hearing some awful things about Call of Duty.
I'm just not going to play it.
Microtransactions now just really killing it.
Yeah, there's guns like you have to. There's guns you can only get through microtransactions, I think. I don't care about it anymore. Childhood. After the beta that I played, I was like, this is fine, but I don't think I'll ever need to drop money on this.
I think what spurred me on was I was looking through my 360 collection, and it gets to a point where it's like, Call of Duty, and then there's like 7 copies of Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
I'm like, we have those 7 copies so we can have 7 people
that,
playing. And
that
I'm like,
tells you all you need to know about your favorite Call of Duty.
I would love to do a LAN party again.
We should sort out a LAN party.
This is the time of year where we do LAN parties.
True, people have less places to go on the outside world.
Exactly.
So we bring them in.
The most awkward thing is always finding people who have a console to bring, a 360 to bring, especially now in this day and age.
True, actually. You know? Like a running 360.
Yeah. But we can make it work.
Yeah, we can.
Definitely.
We could maybe do like...
I would love that.
We should just get 360s. It's like we get like PCs or something to fill in the void. But
I would love that, because I would just love to play some Call of Duty again.
Play some Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. Some Gears Horde maybe.
Gears was on my list to play, and my Switch is on my list to play this week.
My poor Switch.
It's not gonna happen.
My poor godforsaken Switch.
I think everybody's in that boat though.
I don't. I think some people are literally getting the value out of their Switch, and it makes me so sad. Because I'm like sitting there.
I like
sitting
to think
there
that
on
we're
my
just...
PC playing games, and on my Xbox playing games, on my PlayStation playing games, and my Switch is sitting there. And I'm like, I could take you anywhere and do this, but I'm sitting at home.
I know.
It sucks. Like, but
I thought about jumping back into Fallout 4 this week.
That's an excellent shit.
Because I flipped through the Vault Dweller Survival Guidebook I got. I'm like, this game, like the lore in this game is, I just love it. And
there is a similar, you know that, The Outer Worlds?
Yes.
It's coming out, it's the end of this month, actually. Yeah. So it might fill the void for a while. I'm going to definitely pick that one up and play it.
Yeah.
It's actually on the Game Pass, so I don't even know if, I'll probably just get it from there in case it's not good, and then I don't have to.
You don't have to drop it?
Yeah.
I've had nothing else really of note this week.
No,
it's
neither
been a quiet week.
All I had to note was that I ate tofu. So I mean,
What are your plans for the rest of the day?
For today, I'm gonna go back home and sort of chill with the fam for a bit.
I'll
go back to Belfast. If I get up early enough, we might go see Joker if we can squeeze that in. I'd love to get that in.
Otherwise, get a nice wee takeaway. Chill.
It's on the cards.
Oh,
it's always on the cards.
I love it.
Cooking on a Sunday just sucks fucking balls. So.
Sucks the big one, doesn't it? Yeah, I know.
So probably won't do that. Yeah. But apart from that, hey, I have nothing big. What about yourself? You've done the run, Lex. So.
Done the run. My brother Michael is down in hospital at the minute. He got his appendix out.
Oh god.
So I'm gonna go see him now after this. I'm gonna go down and see him.
Very good.
See how he's doing. I think he's due to get out like on Tuesday or something. So.
Oh god, that sucks. I didn't really get to stay in for so long after.
It wasn't a normal procedure. They couldn't get to the appendix because it was like surrounded by something when it burst or whatever.
Oh,
and
God.
He doesn't have like they went in for like the keyhole, realized they couldn't do it, so they had to call like the specialist in, and now he got cut like right down through the
really
right down like top to bottom, like butchered, like
oh fuck the poor creator.
I know, so he's down there recovering at the minute, so I'm gonna go see him,
send my
desk, see how he's doing. So if I can pick up maybe FIFA for a Switch or something, I'll
that that's pretty nice. Yeah. Slip into game there.
Yeah. So that's the plan. Then I'll come back home. I'm going to watch the F1, see how that fucking panned out in Japan.
And there's
then
no rugby though.
Yeah, exactly. Then I got to chill. I'm going to edit this tonight. And so I have it ready for tomorrow. I'm off tomorrow. I just want to chill.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. I wish I had Monday off.
I'm off on Monday, and then I'm in Tuesday, and I'm off on Wednesday.
Nice.
So it's a strange but nice running.
Yeah. I like having a couple of days off, you know, a week rather than like a bunch in one go and then back for a long time.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm definitely going to do I'm going to take every Monday off in December again. I did that last year and it was like the best decision I ever made.
Great decision.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's great.
Definitely doing that.
Well, this has been episode 87 of the podcast. Thank you all very much for tuning in. Remember, you can find this podcast and all the previous podcasts, video version over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast, or you can find the audio version to take us with you anywhere you want, on any podcast hosting service, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, literally anything, any hosting service you will find us. Get in touch with us. Let us know what you think of the podcast. Just comments, queries, suggestions, whatever. Thank you all very much, those who do listen on a weekly basis. That's all I have for this week. You want to add anything?
I got nothing to add, Chris.
Nope. Then we will see you all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed next week for part 3 of Spooktober. Goodbye and God bless.
Bye-bye.